me smile. Once again, welcome everybody. Welcome to the sanctuary this morning. I'm going to go ahead and get into the word for today. Can y'all believe it? It's already fall? That's ridiculous. It just seems like just time is just zooming on by. All right. So let's get into the word this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Young men, don't y'all disappear after church. I'm going to need y'all help. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, and the ESV version. It says in verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that itself builds itself up in love. From the topic, bodybuilders. Bodybuilders. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Bodybuilders. Now, where are we going today? Like, here you go. Church. We are embarking upon a time when we must be ready, as I said earlier today, for the souls that were into this place and for those that are lost in space. Remember that movie you may have heard about on TV Land, Lost in Space? It's about this particular family that was on a mission, and then they got lost in the shuffle and they landed somewhere, but they were not home. And so they felt out of place for a long period of time. And they were striving for a long time to try to get back home again. That's what I saw even on yesterday. That's the reason why I took a risk. Most of the time, most people, most preachers, teachers, churches won't open their doors to heathens. But such were some of you. And I know I was, too. You could even tell by the way that I talk and the way I say certain things that I was definitely a chief sinner. But we have to prepare ourselves for that. We have to prepare ourselves for growth. And you might not know everybody that comes through those doors. So no longer are we a ministry that is stumbling and just finding our way. We're actually established. An established ministry that's rapidly becoming a pillar of the community. Even in any pandemic, watch this, everybody, we have navigated and accomplished many great things to the glory of God. Through those doors, those same doors, we have seen political dignitaries of note, law enforcement leaders, like the chief of police, chaplains, senior pastors, literally from every major church in this particular city, community organizers, entrepreneurs, investment firms, parents, babies, saints and sinners alike, they all have come through those doors. We have fed the hungry, we've clothed the naked, visited the sick, and supported those who have been affected by the coronavirus. We have grown under affliction, and it's not all about numbers, but in my Akile voice, it's about impact. It's about impact, Pastor. It's about impact. It's about what are you going to leave behind once you have finished with this world? Or are you just going to be fly by night? I see so many fly by night preachers. I don't even get mad anymore. And upset anymore when I see a church pop up on the same street. Clout chasing, it happens all the time. I was telling a young man today, I said, preachers sometimes can be like a round table of mafia bosses. Looking for territory, looking for alliances and all these other weird type of things, but I wanted us to be different. I wanted us to just do what Jesus told us to do, to love God and love people. But I do believe that we could do more. We must do more. I do not want us to turn into a traditional church that has the lights, camera, action, great with each other, but then when somebody don't look like you, talk like you, walk like you, or act like you, then you start being uppity or you start avoiding individuals. Don't want us to be like that. So I'm going to continue to do the chin check, and there will be other times where I'll take the risk like Jesus did, because there was a lot of things going through my mind. I was thinking, I was like, man, is this what Jesus felt like? Where he had people from the city saying he talks with sinners. He fellowships with them. There must be something wrong with him too. Look at that church down there with Travis Scott and Lil Baby playing in the parking lot. But the funny thing about it is that they came to us because they said they needed a safe place to be. Ain't that crazy? A safe place, not just from the hustle and bustle of people shooting at each other like was the original reason, but in the spirit, I'm looking at this like a safe place for a sinner to be among the people of God in a holy place and not feel judged. To actually do what the Bible says. Ain't that crazy? To actually do what the Bible says. We're supposed to judge each other, not the world. So we can do more. We must do more. And so I believe that it's time for us to hit that spiritual gym. You know the spiritual gym. One of the things that oftentimes, for those of you that have lifted weights and know people that like to go and exercise and go to the gym, which, by the way, is open at full capacity, but still go with your mask, to let you know that, is that you want to hit those parts that need strengthening. You don't want to have a big top and then skinny legs, like you miss leg day every day. And so you walk around like this, but then you got two sticks. Likewise, you don't want to have two tree trunks and then a skinny body and shriveled up arms. Talk about some, I could squat 1,000 pounds. And then some of y'all be like, oh, H to the no, I ain't doing that. Heck for everybody. Oh, heck no, I ain't doing none of that. I'm just going to stay skinny on top and bottom. I ain't working out at all. Love me as I am. But black and brown people, you need to make sure that you take care of yourself. There's a reason why we get affected by so many different diseases, because we don't like to take care of ourselves. We like to eat as if we're 21 and we're going to be 21 for the rest of our lives, and we cannot do that. You have to take care of yourself so that you can last. How are you going to be able to last and outlast the enemy? And the enemy is like, you're going to take yourself out by your bad eating habits, and you're not taking care of yourself. I'm just saying. So we have to hit things in a spiritual sense. We have to hit our weaknesses. And one of the weaknesses in our church that we're working tirelessly trying to get together is our evangelism side. We need to be able to talk to people that are not saved. Not just your unsaved family members. They ain't listening to you because you barely have saved yourself. No. I'm talking about for those of us that really know God, to share the reason why we could smile in the midst of a storm. The reason why we truly come to church. To not be high-minded, highfalutin, self-righteous, religious, and then not welcome anybody else into the fold. We need to know the scriptures. We need to understand what God is truly saying. And so I believe today we need to strengthen some areas so that we can better carry the cross that God has given us. He's given us a cross. He's allowed for us to be afflicted over the years and definitely during the pandemic. And so we have to be a bodybuilder. We have to hit every muscle. There's one thing about the bodybuilding field, you know, it may gross out some, but then it's a delight to others, is that when you are bodybuilding, and I've exercised over many, many, many years, you have to work on the muscles that you really don't want to work on. Legs, oh, how many fellas in here don't like leg day? I despise it. I hate it. But it's one of the strongest areas of your body. It's necessary. You have to do it. Some people don't like doing biceps. Some people don't like doing back.
Some people don't like working on their chest. It's all types. Some people don't like working on nothing. But in the kingdom, this is what I'm talking about as far as the kingdom is concerned, you have to understand what this is all about. So let's go ahead and break down the scripture, and then I'll get out of your way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16 says, in the 11th verse, and he says, and he gave, talking about God, and God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. So let's go ahead and break this down very quickly. What is an apostle? An apostle is an individual that has been chosen by God to establish the foundational doctrines of the church as taught directly by Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 21 through 22 gives us the criteria for who this actually is. And so if you start looking around and start looking at those flyers, start looking at Facebook as far as the reason why people have these titles in front of their names, this is the reason for skepticism. Verse 21 says, so one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. So that is actually the qualifications for being an apostle. That you would have had to have been with Jesus from the time of John the Baptist. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Make it straight. All the way up to why ye stand there gazing, looking at Jesus, for the same way that he left us is the same way that he would return. If you did not fit into that category, then you are not an apostle of Jesus Christ. It's the scriptures. Remember, we don't want to be hypocritical Christians, right, where we just read the scriptures and then just go through them, but then we don't do nothing what it says, and we start cherry picking. Or maybe you want to hear about marine spirits or concrete spirits or wall spirits. Sensationalism because it sounds spooky. No, that's not what the Bible says. So it's hard being biblical. It's hard doing what God says. It's hard reading things in context, but you must know. Did you also know that when it comes to apostles, they can be replaced, but only by other apostles? This is what true apostolic succession actually means, and you also have to be endorsed. For example, when Judas was carrying on and acting like a fool, and then he hung himself, and then he fell from that particular noose inside of the field of blood, a keldama, if you will, he fell on the rocks, and his internal organs burst open with his intestines falling out. It's a gruesome depiction, but that is exactly what happened to Judas when he betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. The affliction in his mind of him selling out a man that was pure and innocent and sinless, it got to him. And so, yes, you can have an unsaved apostle be among you, be close to you, and betray you, but they can be replaced. You know who replaced Judas? Well, it was actually Matthew or Matthias, or Matthias in the Greek. He replaced Judas, and they also added another one, which was Paul. Paul was appointed by Jesus Christ during the time when he was on that Damascus road. He said, you will be my servant. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witness. You've torn up the church for many years, being religious, being judgmental, persecuting Christians and the like. But now I'm going to take the same person that was afflicting all these individuals, and I'm going to turn that person around, and I'm now going to position that individual to now go out and save others. Matter of fact, write 3/4 of the New Testament, Apostle Paul. People might argue, well, how in the world did he see Jesus? He wasn't there. Well, he saw Jesus. That's the qualification. He actually saw Jesus in a different light than others. He saw him in his glorified body, what I would call the revelation glorified body, the eyes of fire, the hair white like wool, not hair wool, hair white like wool, the sword protruding from out of his mouth that will divide the nations between the saved and unsaved, the sheep and the goats. That is what Paul saw on the road to Damascus. The blindness him so badly until he was afflicted in his vision for 14 years. Then the scales fell from his eyes. And then he had to be under the tutelage of Ananias, inside of Ananias' house. That encounter with God was so life-changing and transforming that it scarred him. He actually was afflicted by God. He had to go through something so hard in order for him to be turned around. He got knocked off his high horse. That's how he became an apostle. That's how he became afflicted. That's how he became one of the chosen. Apostles of today, these are individuals that do exist, but they are up under the tradition of Barnabas. Barnabas was an apostle of Paul. He was there to plant churches. He was there to stand up and get ministries in the proper order. That's so important. So that's what apostles are, and that's who they are. So now you can distinguish them. I do not want to have an ignorant church. I do not want to have an unlearned church. I want to have a church that really knows exactly what things are. Then there's also apostles, as I said, of today. These are what we would call people who are church planters, church planters. And then you would have a prophet. Ryan, can you come here for a quick second? Then you have prophets. A prophet, as it comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 17, says the following. And it shall, in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so this is important. So this lets us know that people who have a prophetic call can be men or women, young or old. These individuals have been called by God, chosen by God. And here's the kicker. They only say what God has said. They only say what God has said. Psalms chapter 45, verse 1 in the English Standard Version says, my heart overflows with a pleasing theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. Or one translation says, a pen of a ready writer. Meaning that when people are listening to prophecies, what they say is almost as if it is coming out of an author's hand, or that a prophet or a prophetess is actually seen as a pen. Does anybody have a pen on them? Who got a pen? Don't throw it at me because I can't catch. I was a running back. You got it. All right, I can do it like this, though. So it's saying that we talked about apostles. We talked about the true apostles, the one of Jesus Christ, and we also talked about false apostles. Everybody around here that got a hat that's long as tall and look like some type of Catholicism type hat, those are not apostles. Those are people who are self-appointed themselves, and they don't plant churches. If you don't have a passport and you never plant churches around the nation, haven't done it, that's what apostles are in our modern time. That's the proper context. But if you ain't seen Jesus yourself, you can't be considered that same way, even though a conference says otherwise. But then when it comes to a prophet is like a pen. A pen. Now, is the prophet, now from what y'all see, is the pen me? Is the pen me? Or are we two separate entities? Am I the pen, or am I separate from the pen? I'm separate from the pen. But it says a prophet is like the pen in the hand of a ready scribe or a ready writer. So that means that the one who holds the pen has the authority, not the one who is the pen. So the one who holds the pen sees the pen as an instrument. So the one who is taking the pen writes as he sees fit. The pen just lets what's on the inside come out. You get that? So this is how God sees prophets. The prophet is an instrument by God that's like a pen that is being held by a ready writer. So God is the author and finisher of our faith. So a true prophet only says what God says. It should come from out of the scriptures, which have been inspired by God. Repeating, my heart overflows with a pleasing theme. Like the ink coming from out of a pen and then going across the pages. I addressed my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. I remember one person telling me that God made him say what he needed to say to a group of people that were bent against God. He didn't want to do it, and he was sick until he did exactly what God told him to say. And prophets are not popular people. They're the ones that you dread coming in your inbox. But they should be listened to. Because if you don't listen to them, then you could be missing a blessing or meet your doom. You listen. You listen. You know who those are in this particular place. You better listen. Don't just skip across the email. Don't skip across the inbox. Don't skip across the words. They are valued. And they are here to help us lift up and do those different types of reps in the building. So if I'm trying to build my muscles with a weight bench or doing curls, the prophets are there to be a part of the body that helps you get stronger in a specific area, just like an apostle is. Apostle helps you get your feet right before you carry all that weight. A prophet is there to make sure that your neck is straight so that you can be in the right position. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through the first 20, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, verse 20 through 21, and then verse 1 and 2 says the following. It says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scriptures comes from someone's own interpretation. That's how cults start. That's how cults start. This is when you take an established orthodox doctrine and heresy. Heresy is like a little weird little word that you would hear in today's time, but not really. It's kind of one of those weird words that's been around for a long, long time. There's been heretics around since the beginning of the church, where you have this orthodoxy of what Jesus said and what God has said, and then you have these other people that have said certain things from their perspective. And then these things start competing with each other. There's a book that I just bought last night that was talking about the gospel according to heretics and how they saw what God said versus what God said. But here's what God is in his word. This is how he feels like about. In verse 20, it says, for no prophecy has ever or was ever introduced or produced by the will of man. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, that's pretty stark right there. That's pretty plain. So it's telling us, number one, that prophecy is not subject to your own private interpretation. You get in the car by this time tomorrow, 9 times out of 10, if your life is in shambles, then why is God going to give you something that you're going to tear up? Or God's going to give you a man when you can barely take care of yourself? Amen, lights. I'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where we love God and love people. You can't have your life in a shambles and then God. It's kind of like, okay, if you, I've given you this analogy before, but it's like the people of God sometimes can be like a vending machine. Why should I put in anything if the outside has a sign that says out of order? Why should I invest in that? I'm going to keep on losing dollars, right? Have you ever seen that happen before where we had one in the back? Remember that vending machine? We had so much trouble with that vending machine. Here go Pastor Martin trying to help somebody. Okay, I didn't hear God with that one, but I'm just saying. It still can serve as a good example. So the machine, vending machine didn't work. Some of y'all came to be private. Pastor Martin, my child lost like $2 in that machine. I felt like I was in a corner store at Cozy Corner in Jacksonville, Florida, on Myrtle Avenue and A Street. Lord, have mercy. Can you go ahead and you can get the machine? I lost some quarters inside of that machine. My kids were complaining about it. I keep on losing my money. Jaden was trying to get honey buns every other day. And I knew that they did what we all used to do. Start shaking that machine so you could get that money out, right? Right. And sometimes that's what God does with us. He shakes us because he can see that we're out of order. Because he wants us to produce when he puts something on the inside of us. So prophecy and scripture is not subject to your own interpretation. It already explains itself. You use the scripture to explain the scripture. And no prophecy could come from the will of man. Y'all remember that one particular guy, I think it was called Family Radio, where he said that the end of the world was going to end. I think it was like 2017, 2018. And he said the world would end on this specific day. You know, the Mayan calendar. Remember that whole phase of things a little while ago? I saw billboards up. And then the next day came and everybody was still eating, drinking, and being merry, sinning like normal. And the man apologized to all his followers and said, I was in error. I was wrong, and not too late after that, he died. Black Jesus, that was on Comedy Central. Eddie Murphy, brother, he played around a little bit too much. Is he around? See, we just kind of just skip past these things. We'd be like, oh, that's just a coincidence. That's just happenstance. But if you believe that God is in control, he knows that he just kind of just like, okay, well, I'll just take my hand off him because you know better. He doesn't wait until everybody dies before he judges. So the scriptures tell us the difference between a true prophet and a false one. In verse 1 and 2, I'll just go ahead and read this. I know the verse is out there, but hopefully y'all got it for me. Okay, good. Thank you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Forgive me, y'all. I'm trying to learn this new Bible software called Logos. They updated me over the weekend by force. They said, Pastor Martin, your word search thing is like old. It's like from 2004, and it don't work no more. Here, how about Logos? So I went ahead and got the Logos package, right? So he says this. He says in verse 1, the difference. This is the reason why y'all need to know the difference. But false prophets also rose among the people. So that means that everybody ain't telling the truth. That means that people would be lying. Just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Look at this. Even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. So if you call yourself a prophet, even a man of God, that, you know, because when you prophesy, if you read the Bible, you're prophesying. You're just saying what God says. So if you take the scriptures and then you twist them like Hymenaeus and Alexander, and you twist them for your own gain, or you go from talking about the goodness of God to prosperity gospel or capitalism in scripture, or even to the opposite end of the spectrum, you start being super, super duper spooky when it comes to your stuff, then you're violating scripture and you're putting yourself in danger because God is like, don't speak for me. As parents, we have to say that sometimes. Don't speak for me. You don't speak for me. I can speak for me. I'm the authority figure. I'm the leader. I'm the head. So if you are going to speak for God, you have to say what he says. And if you don't know what to say, don't say nothing. Pray. I really appreciated the praise and worship as it was going forward because I can always tell when y'all pray. And I can tell when y'all not praying. They are inextricably tied together. And so I can also tell you when you're suffering, because suffering will push out a praise and praying will put out a praise. And for some of y'all need a little bit more suffering because you don't get it just yet. But I'll be here to help pick up the pieces. I'll be like the guy that's moving the porta potty. I know there's crap on the inside, but still got to take care of it. Verse 2 says, and many will follow their sensuality because of how they feel, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. Look at that. Now, what is a true Christian? A Christian is actually called a person of the way. What is the way? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to God except through him. That is the way. And so it's saying that a false prophet will take the way and say that it means something else. That's not really what it means. Because all you have to do is just take this book that you found on the internet. It's from the 1800s, from these Egyptian mystics, and then that is the truth. That is the truth. But how do you know what the truth is? Unless you have a standard to measure it up against. If no one can affirm the truth, then how will you even know who's right and wrong? But deep down, God has embedded us with that knowledge. Prophets, important. Evangelists, as I move on very quickly, evangelists are this. Acts chapter 21, verse 8 says, on the next day we departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven and stayed with him. Evangelists are people who are always on the move talking about Jesus. This is what I want us to do. If you can run your mouth about everything else, then you can tell somebody about Jesus. Because this is what helps people to snatch their lives from out of bondage and out of blindness and brings them into the marvelous light. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, as for you, always be sober-minded. That means your mind has to be clear. Endure suffering. That means that being a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to live a life that is just carefree without nothing ever happening to you. Who promised you that? What preacher or what teacher promised you that everything was going to be cool now that you have been saved, baptized by the fire, burning fire? Who said that? Suffering is actually one of the best ingredients that a Christian can have in their life. Because it's really not about you going through. It's about how you handle how you're going through. That's the key. And I've seen the maturity of many of you all. Sometimes, and I be shivering in my boots, sometimes the trials and tests that you all tell me about, I kind of come to you and be like, are you going to be all right? And then you tell me, I'm fine. I know God. I know how he is in my life. I've seen what he can do. And sometimes as a father, I still kind of think of you as a new Christian, but then you get old in the faith too. That means you're mature, and you'd be like, oh, well, go ahead with your bad self. You keep on praying then. I know you got it. I'll be praying for you. A pastor loves to hear that the people that listen to him or up under his tutelage are actually applying things to their own lives. That means you're becoming a mature sheep. You're not no longer a ewe lamb, and now you turn into a ram. You can butt some heads now. That's what a ram is. A ram is a mature sheep. Mature. Can reproduce. Can keep others warm. Can sense when wolves come. Then we have the shepherd pastor. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And I will give you shepherds, pastors after my own heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." That's my job, just to feed you with knowledge and understanding, not just knowledge. We live in a what? An information age. There's so many people have a tremendous amount of knowledge, but no wisdom. How are you going to apply what you know? What good is it for you to read the news and you can't even do nothing about it? That was what was so frustrating about COVID for all these many months. We knew about it. We read about it. But who could do anything about it? Well, if we just put the proper policies in place, people are like herding cats. No one listens to anyone at any moment in time, blanket across the board. No one does. In our nature, people are rebellious by their very nature. They will never do everything that somebody tells them to do. Never. And so you have to have knowledge and understanding. This is what this means, and let me tell you why it means what it means, so that you will not be confused. Jim Jones was confused about the scriptures. And people said, "You're just drinking the Kool-Aid." That reference is almost it's aging now. Not many people even understand or know who Jim Jones is. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. The new thing among many black and brown people now is Hebrew Israelism. It's New Age. New Age Judaism, to get people bound to the law that they don't even follow themselves. The height of hypocrisy. So teachers, they give answers to questions and give explanations when asked. They're knowledgeable about the topic at hand. There was one particular person I was talking to several months ago who was not a believer, and she was basically telling me, "How is it that there are so many pastors out here, but y'all don't have no type of training?" I had to touch the mic. I had to look at myself. No type of training. It is one of the few things that it is a unique position, because you could just say, "God called me," and got a preaching voice. And have a Cadillac. No, that's kind of old now. What's a new thing nowadays? Somebody could give me, what's a new thing that everybody driving nowadays? Mercedes? Tesla? That's exotic. Mercedes Benz? Okay, that's a new thing. Cadillac was like when I was a child. But now you got the Mercedes. And so as long as you have that, a preaching voice, a trophy wife, and have some level of influence, and you a preacher. No training at all. Okay, you do have training. You get these little bootleg schools that just pop up on the internet, talk about some without walls, faith by fire university. Lady Martin, but it's true. It's true. So why isn't there a level of skepticism? So a teacher, if I'm going to teach other people things, then I should at least be educated myself. And that doesn't mean that you can be educated fool. You can. There's a lot of people, especially during the Vietnam era, there was a lot of pastors in the Northeast and in the Midwest that avoided going to the Vietnam War, and they became pastors because they said that this is against my religion. And so they preached what they did not believe for years just to avoid going to war. And then you have people who are listening to these false teachers. And then you're surprised when they say, "I never believed any of the stuff in the first place." Think about the crushed hearts in the crowd. How can you teach something that you do not believe? If you don't believe it, keep it 100. Just sit down and be quiet. We have all been, in some level or another, a victim of unsaved pastors. Can you imagine that? A pastor who's not saved, but they have. So you got to get a grip and come equipped. This is where I close out at. I'm trying to get better with my time. What does get a grip, come equipped mean? That's like an old rap song. I don't even know what song it matched with. Maybe, Rick, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. You remember it either.
You're supposed to back me up, man.
He was like, I don't remember them old songs passing by. That's fine.
But this is where it comes from. In verse 12, repeating, to equip the saints. Y'all got the verse? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. It says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. To equip means to provide for, to give, to assist. There's hearing and then there is life application. That's what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ, not just Pastor Martin. For those of us in here that have been given gifts to do so. To build up also means to take from a weakened state to a strong state, which takes time and it's not overnight. You are not going to have, you're not going to look like The Rock by tomorrow by signing up for a gym membership. It takes years. That man been lifting weights for like 30 years. It takes a long time. You're not just going to pop up and be all swole. You're going to be swole, all right. You're going to be hurting, in pain, going to the jacuzzi every other day just to try to get your pinky finger to get act right. Because you don't pull the muscle. Charlie horse. Oh, my leg. That's because you're trying to lift all the weights the very first time you go in there. But here's a little tip. If you do ever decide to work out and go and lift weights, some of y'all have said, I ain't finna do nothing. But if you do, you have to start slow. You start with the light weights. And here's the part that makes you feel some kind of way. When you see the person next to you just put that big old giant weight on the bar, and they're like, ka-clank, and they just walk by. I'm talking about the females. And you over there with your bar, and you just got 2 10-pounds on each side, and you got somebody spotting you, and you just there struggling. You start looking to the left and to the right, and you feel some kind of way. And see, that part right there makes you not even want to come back because you're like, I'm not even stronger than anybody else in here. Intimidation, worrying about what other people think. But how many of you know that that's what the spotter is there for, to encourage you, to help you to focus on getting stronger? So it's like you being a new Christian, and then other Christians know the verses of Scripture back and forth. And you're a baby Christian. You don't need to be intimidated by all of that. You need to focus on who's spotting you to help you get stronger. Verse 13 says, until we all attain, come on, Al, you can play, to the unity of faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood and even womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? Well, when you're in ministry, styles will be different, but the substance needs to be the same. There's this thing that was called a divine truth. I just want to let y'all know this. Did y'all know that we're coming to a time where this will be normal? It's starting already. I'm talking about the stage, the way that it looks, the lights, the camera. This actually is becoming traditional. It's becoming the norm. The old norm used to be chairs in the back with people staring at you, old men staring at you for different reasons. Tanky, you know what I'm talking about. You didn't see these people before, too. I used to always wonder about this one deacon, too. I was like, what? Are you wearing a diaper? I'm just telling you what I thought at that time, sitting in the pew, just like them sitting in the back there, right there, because they be thinking about the same things too. I was like, what are you looking at? Why y'all laughing? Because y'all be thinking about the same stuff too. That's what I wondered. I was like, what in the world? So now you know the reason why I don't have nobody behind me. Because I thought it was weird back then. It didn't make any sense to me. I was like, where is this in the Bible? I don't know. It's just, so either you're counting. So styles can be different. But substance must be in alignment with the word of God. Looks and styles, that's going to change throughout time. But is the ministry doing exactly what God has said or to do. Y'all are stuck on the diaper part. You can't even move past it, can you? Come on, come out of the flesh. Out of the flesh. And let's go to verse 14. Verse 14. Someone say verse 14. Verse 14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. See, when you're young in the faith, anybody can say anything. I can't tell you how many young ladies hook up with these guys that are into these different types of cults or whatnot, and they just go along with it because it's they man. And they start arguing with people, talk about, that's not the truth. And you show them the truth, they'll be like, well, that's not how I feel. But our feelings has led to a bunch of problems. What is the truth? What is the truth? Faith and obedience. That's the truth. And so the only way that you cannot be tossed to and fro is that you have to have a good standard. I could say up and down that to Jaden, I say, Jaden, 2 + 2 does not equal 4. And I promise you, because he says he wants to be a future lawyer, he practices on me at home all the time. I promise you he will argue with you and say that, Daddy, that 2 + 2 is not 4. And he'll proceed to go to the websites and the books to show me that that is not correct. But if I tell him, well, that's not how I feel, he'll be like, that's not what it says. So if I have an elementary understanding about things, and yeah, somebody could tell me anything. And I actually had somebody that said, well, 2 + 2 doesn't necessarily equal 4. It just depends on how you see it. I was like, how you see it? With one eye open and one eye closed. Come on, put your hands together for that. That was like my attempt at humor. Y'all ain't get it? That was really bad, wasn't it, Lady Mar? Lady Mar was like, all right, I try. Stick with preaching, Pastor Mar. All right, I will. So this is what you need to know, and then I'm done. False prophecy and false teaching will always have an audience. Have you ever wondered why that is? It bothers me sometimes. I'm just being honest with you. But here's the key, and I want everybody to hear this. Remember, repeating, false prophecy and false teaching will always have an audience. Because there will be false students that have itching ears to find them to suit their own desires. So if you want to be wrong, you'll find people that will suit your wrongness. I mean, like, how in the world do they have a church? How in the world do they have a following? How in the world, when you know all of the stuff, how in the world, why in the world would you follow David Koresh? But when you are looking for things, you'll find them. You can find anything that you're looking for, but there's still the difference between the truth and error. And so when you're a real student, you could tell if a teacher knows what they speak of. I went through this many years ago. I was going through a situation where I was a new teacher, and I was teaching, like, Microsoft Technologies. And when I first started, they didn't care. They was like, go ahead and go on out there. You'll learn. So I actually had somebody that was patient with me long enough to actually learn the craft of what teaching was all about. I had the gift, but I was very raw. And so I actually had my book open. It was like 400 pages. And we were going through the very first couple of modules, and I was just reading from the book. Now, if I just read from the book the whole time in church, the first thing that you'll say, I could do that myself, right? Why in the world go to school, right? So it was very, very, very tough for me. And I was like, man, I'm not going to be able to wing this like this. I'm going to have to study. Because you asking questions that I ain't even read yet. Ever came across that teacher? I remember y'all in high school, you came across that teacher that was a substitute teacher, and they were really the gym teacher. And they show up, Mr. Bobby coming in the classroom with tight pants on, getting ready to teach math. He a great coach, but he stinks at math. Science? What do you mean science? He's trying to teach you at that moment in time. You're like, that's not what that means. And then you get mad at you. You go to detention. I was that kid that got sent to detention. But that's the reason why we need to make sure that we know those that labor among us, good pastors and leaders, that they know what they're talking about. You have to vet those things. And then you also have to be good students. Y'all got to study, too. Next time we have, I don't want this to happen, next time we have an evangelistic time, or have somebody from the outside just come here and be here. I don't want y'all just sitting at home being on Facebook looking at nothing. And at Instagram models.
trying to work with him. Brother Jaden, I'm trying to work with him. He's like, Daddy, I don't even know what you're talking about. And so, if you're a real student, you will know what a teacher, when you have a real teacher. You may not know all of what is spoken at first, but over time, if you sit up under a good teacher, you will grow and mature in the faith. Final two verses. Verse 15 says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. When you talk to people, you have two approaches, and this will help you the next time you have an evangelistic moment or you're talking to somebody about Jesus. You have two approaches that you can use. You can choose either polemic or ironic. Polemic people, they attack false ideology of the enemies. So they like going after the enemies of the church, enemies of the cross. But I like being ironic. Ironic is when you use gentle persuasion for those that love God but are misinformed and need to be told the right things the right way. Both are necessary. Sometimes you have to fight against the enemy, and sometimes you just have to fortify your own troops. They're on your side. They just misinformed. Help them. And verse 16, come on, stand to your feet. It'll be done. I'm done. And this is where verse 16 comes into play. Is the video game that fun? No. All right, stand up. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. As a church, we should always, always be embracing of those that are sinners, without sinning like them. I want to emphasize this. I do not want to be another traditional church that becomes a club of saved people that never talk to unsaved people. That's what I saw yesterday. Let's seize the opportunities. Let's not become fat sheep where we get all of this teaching and we just use it internally. And then don't tell it, because y'all heard that. A church is just a country club for Christians. Half of y'all be like, I don't even know what no country club is. It's like the VIP section for Christians. Y'all understand that, because y'all been in the VIP section. At least you sat next to it. I don't want to be that way. I want us to grow and then show others that we're growing. Because eventually the person, watch this, the person who is stronger becomes the spotter in bodybuilding. When I lift weights and things of that nature, I used to be thin too. And then, as time went on, the muscles start building. And then, the people who are just starting out, they see in how you care about yourself. You walk by with a little muscle. I had a little muscle right here. You can see it's like right there. And they see that too. And they're like, hey, can you spot me? And then with compassion, I help them lift the weights. And I encourage them, because I remember what it was like to be sitting down there on the bench. You remember that? You get that? And such were some of you. So let's not just be people who just lift weights all the time but never help anybody else. Because it's all about winning souls. So as I close, the church grows when all these pieces are working in together. The prophet, the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. They should work in concert with each other, like an orchestra, not their own individual instruments, playing one at a time. They're unique, they're different in and of themselves. That's not what I'm saying. But even in their uniqueness, they still play together beautifully. And that's the direction that I want to go. So we must seize the opportunities as they arise and engage our culture without fear or compromise, but truth and love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness, your mercy, and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for these, your people. I pray for them both near and far. Even those in our online audience this morning, Heavenly Father, touch them right now. Let them not live in fear, but let them live by faith. Also like to pray for Sister Evans' brother, Heavenly Father. I pray that there be peace and comfort in the family, even as I speak. Lord God, touch those that may be hurting privately and struggling with private sins. Give them a way out. Give them the answers that they seek and that they're looking for. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Y'all good? I'm done. What else is there? I know what to say. Turn forward and say, God,
No, that's wrong. Turn forward and say, love God. Love people. Be blessed, people. I messed that up, too. Be blessed, everybody. See y'all next week. Invite people to church. Tell them to wear a mask, and they'll be good.